Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Intera Oncology, we passed the mic to Ryan Murko, MD, MS, and Louise Catherine Connell, MB, BCH, BAO, Bachelor of Medical Science, who discussed the use of hepatic artery infusion pumps in the management of unresectable colorectal cancer. Dr. Murko is an Associate Professor of Surgery, the Director for Surgical Cancer Quality, the Associate Director of Health Services Research in the Department of Surgery, and the Director of the Hepatic Artery Infusion Pump Program at the University of Chicago Medicine Comprehensive Cancer Center and Cancer Service Line in Illinois. Dr. Connell is an assistant attending physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, New York. In this exclusive conversation, Drs. Murko and Connell discussed the reasons why they adopted HAI therapy as a treatment offering for patients with colorectal cancer, characteristics of patients who are good candidates for this treatment, and more.
My name is Ryan Murko. I am a hepatobiliary GI surgical oncologist at the University of Chicago. I am the Associate Director of Health Services Research here. I'm the Director of Informatics for the Cancer Center and Director of the Hepatic Artery Infusion Pump here at UPC.
Yeah, my name is Louise Connell. I'm a GI medical oncologist, originally from Ireland and moved to Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York in 2014 on fellowship. And I currently manage patients with hepatic arterial infusion chemotherapy here at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City.
One of the fundamental reasons why we treat any patients is to help them. We have a variety of therapies, and for colorectal cancer patients, when it metastasizes to the liver, we know with a very high degree of certainty that if we can manage what happens in the liver, if we can control the disease, and in many cases get patients to complete clearance of all disease in the liver, we know that those patients are going to do better. They'll do better than patients where we cannot do that. And so that is really a fundamental goal of therapy. It's foundational to what we do in this subgroup of patients with metastatic colorectal cancer. So HAI therapy is a tool that fits into our armamentarium to achieve those goals. It's an effective therapy in the right patients, selected group of patients, where we can either use HAI after we clear everything in the liver to reduce the likelihood of recurrence, or in some cases, try to convert patients who are initially unresectable to being resectable. And so those are really, you know, foundational goals that we have with these patients, and HAI is an important part of that.
You know, what's interesting from my experience is I've moved from a community oncology setting in Ireland to being at a major center here at Memorial. And I didn't have the opportunity to use HAI therapy when I was in Ireland. And I think, you know, in addition to the data that we have, is truly seeing how these patients have benefited from my time here over the last 10 years and seeing real examples of patients who, you know, as Dr. Murko said, these are, you know, select patients, the right patients who truly benefit from controlling disease in the liver from the use of this treatment in addition to our standard chemotherapies. You know, we have a lot of these biologic drugs and targeted drugs available now, but they really only work in a very small subset of patients. So I think in addition to the data, it's truly seeing the examples of patients coming into the clinic who benefit from this. You know, the important thing is knowing the right patient who will benefit from this. And I think essentially it's patients who have liver limited disease and, you know, possibly they can have one or two, you know, small lung nodules, but essentially liver limited disease, good liver function. And essentially, hepatic arterial infusion therapy can be used in patients at any time point in their disease course. But we do know that the earlier we introduce the therapy for these patients, the higher the response rate that we achieve for them and the better the results. So I would say the sooner the better, but it can be adopted truly at any time frame for a patient with unresectable disease.
The clinical characteristics that make a patient a good candidate for HII therapy are some of the things we've mentioned already: liver only or liver dominant, metastatic colorectal cancer. I think that's sort of the, you know, the basis of where we're all starting. If they have, you know, very low volume extrahepatic disease, we're extremely careful about using therapy in those settings. There's not a strict rule against that. However, we are quite careful. You know, a single lung nodule, for example, or two lung nodules, I would not say it's prohibitive. We also look at the clinical status of the patient, their tolerance of a major operation. Putting a pump in is a real operation. And so we need to make sure we can safely get patients through that. The surgical type risks are very relevant. And then otherwise, you know, we're looking at other aspects of biology for each patient. And there's not sort of a one size fits all type of approach. We use a lot of our experience, a lot of the molecular characterizations, you know, their responses to other therapy, what the pathology in their primary tumor was. Lots of different factors kind of go into painting a picture of what that individual patient's individual biology is. And we make decisions based off of that. Some of the things we pay attention to would be like KRAS mutation status, their BRAF mutation status, whether they're microsatellite stable or not, left-sided, right-sided tumors, the aggressiveness of their primary tumor, their response to prior therapies. It's a fairly long list, yeah. But that's our job. I think the individual and the team's job, the HAI team's job, is to really try to fully understand that biology as best that we possibly can for any individual and make a decision as a group. But I think it does make sense to try to start it earlier, and there's some data to support that. You know, starting patients after, you know, second, third line therapy, I think it has a definite role there. There's also data to support that, and people that are even completely chemo refractory. HII does have a reasonable response in those patients. But if we can get this therapy in earlier, I think patients will ultimately benefit more from it. One of the questions that often comes up, though, is at the onset of diagnosis of metastatic colorectal cancer to the liver. And I think that is a question that is up for debate, actually. You know, we often like to get a little bit more of an understanding of the biology early on to see if they're truly liver only or liver dominant. And so we're very careful about that. But getting the therapy in before first line therapy is completed, I think, is also completely reasonable and is something that we often try to do.
The earlier the drug is used and the treatment is used in general, the better tolerated the treatment is and the higher response rates that we have. In terms of using it up front, I think that is something that is really a multidisciplinary decision, and it really has to be the right patient. I think an approach that we often adopt here, which I think, you know, is also used by other teams treating patients with HAI, is maybe a short lead-in of systemic treatment, you know, two to three months of FOLFOX, for example, testing that biology, making sure that it is, you know, truly the right maneuver, but not quite completing out a full 6 months of first-line chemotherapy. So that would be a common approach that we would take here when we see a patient, you know, at diagnosis. But I think that in general, the earlier the better. I think with any of the chemotherapy regimens that we have, they change the texture of the liver, the tolerance of the liver to different treatments, and therefore, the sooner this is incorporated, the better in general patients do. When we meet patients in the beginning, and this is a discussion between the patient, the medical oncologist, and the surgical oncologist, is you know, looking at the baseline scan, the likelihood of converting that patient to resection or not, right? So what is the goals of treatment? And there are some patients where, you know, we know from the baseline scan that converting to resection is not really going to be achievable, but that we can still potentially help these patients. I do think that we still help patients even if they're not resected, because we're adding another drug to the toolbox, right? And particularly in patients who have, for example, a KRAS mutation, they don't have certain drugs like the EGFR inhibitors to use. And therefore, getting a response in the liver and potentially consolidating the hepatic arterial infusion treatment with other liver-directed treatments, such as ablations, Y90, radiation, can still help the outcome for patients. But it is important from the beginning to be honest with patients about what we expect to achieve in their particular case. What I say to patients is that the sequencing preferred is HAI followed by Y90. It, again, in practice, is very, very difficult to effectively deliver consistent and higher dosing of the fluoxuridine, the HAI therapy, in patients who've previously had Y90. I think we have to look at exactly, whether it's a selective Y90 or if it's, to the both lobes of the liver. If it is a selective treatment of Y90, then it doesn't have the same impact on the ability to give HAI. But again, in general, I would say the sequencing preferred is HAI followed by Y90.
The way I think about HAI and Y90 is really being complementary therapies, not necessarily competing therapies for metastatic colorectal cancer. We're often using Y90 in more palliative type settings where we're trying to control a lesion that is being problematic in the liver, for example. I think that is more of the norm for Y90. In terms of sequencing, it depends on the details, just like Dr. Connell was saying. If we're doing extensive treatment in the liver, like a radiation lobectomy, for example, those are situations where I would not put a pump in after that in most cases. If we're being highly selective in treating individual lesions, I think it would be reasonable. And it all gets back to that toxicity and risk for the individual patient that we're trying to balance and be careful that we're not hurting people. We're helping people with these therapies. I have used Y90 in many cases after HAI, and it's been effective and it's been a nice salvage in those circumstances, just to sort of put the lens on of an interventional radiologist or an interventional oncologist. They will say it's more challenging. The artery is usually a little bit more beat up from the HAI therapy, but it's possible. And with an experienced IR team, I would have very limited doubt they would be able to successfully achieve their goals. So big picture, we like HAI before Y90 in most circumstances. It's kind of a balanced approach, and this may not be the standard or norm, so I'll put that disclosure out there. In general, I feel I need to at least discuss this option with patients if they have three or more lesions in the liver. We're balancing risk, and HAI does have real risk. And so for folks who have, quote, low risk, solitary liver lesions, even two liver lesions, we're very selective about that, and it really depends on the patient and kind of what we think would be tolerated and what the patient's interest is. If a patient came in and was very adamant, we would have a discussion about it. But when there's three or more lesions, I feel that I at least have to bring it up as a potential tool that we have to reduce the likelihood of recurrence.
I think it does come down to the motivation of the patients and also taking into account, what has been their disease course until now, what has been their prior experience with chemotherapy, for example. So we do discuss putting a pump in for adjuvant therapy in patients where they have one or two liver lesions, more likely in a patient who has received adjuvant FOLFOX with a recurrence, for example. And again, I think it's important to have the conversation with the patient about what that involves, right? Because sometimes patients believe that it's the HAI therapy alone. At least here, when I'm giving adjuvant therapy, I'm giving it in conjunction with modified systemic chemotherapy, even in patients post-liver resection. And sometimes the patient may be seeking out this treatment because they want to avoid systemic chemotherapy. So that's always important to say. And also, I think it's important to understand what it involves in having a pump in place and the maintenance of a pump, and the recommendation in general to keep a pump in place for at least 2 years post-liver resection, ideally up to 5 years. And I think that's what also helps with patients making these decisions. And sometimes a patient with a single liver lesion may not want that, right? So I think that's where there's a balance between, are we helping a patient with one lesion versus three lesions? But it's an involved discussion. And I think it's something that in general, in the patients that I see, I will always bring up the discussion around the pump.
It's not always a straightforward answer, and it depends on the individual patient. And I would just add that there is pretty compelling data. It's observational data, but pretty compelling observational data that lower risk patients actually do best. So like Dr. Connell has said very well, it's a team-based approach. It's based on the individual patient factor. It is a commitment to have an HAI pump placed, and putting it all together, I think it's really important.
The attractiveness of HAI therapy, right, is the delivery of really high doses of chemotherapy into the liver without the patient having the systemic side effects. And we know that, it improves response in the liver and it helps with hepatic progression-free survival. It's an added tool, and we do see improvements in comparison to systemic chemotherapy alone. In terms of data for adjuvant therapy, we don't have data supporting the use of, routine systemic chemotherapy as adjuvant treatment or other liver-directed treatments in this situation. So in many patients, the discussion is involving either resection with a pump or resection alone, right, and close surveillance.
There is an old study that looked at patients that underwent resection after systemic chemotherapy and resection after HAI therapy for lesions that had disappeared on imaging. And the likelihood of a complete response in the liver was higher in patients that underwent HAI therapy, as just sort of a hypothesis-driving thought that HAI therapy is more effective at managing those micrometastatic cancer cells versus systemic chemotherapy. It's something to just think about and consider. They have to be able to withstand a major surgical operation, like we previously discussed. We're often doing many other things at the time of the HAI therapy placement, such as doing other resections and ablations of the liver and very frequently addressing the primary tumor if it's still in place at that same time. So they have to be able to tolerate all of that. And somebody who's not a surgical candidate is, of course, not an HAI therapy candidate. That's one of the major considerations prior to putting a pump in. Otherwise, there's a number of things we want to make sure that they can tolerate the therapy. It's high-dose chemotherapy to the liver, and so their liver has to be able to tolerate that. So if they have underlying cirrhosis, significant liver dysfunction, those types of things, and we would back off using a pump in those patients in most circumstances. The other things that we think about is the technical aspects of placing the pump. A lot of people will have aberrant anatomy in terms of their arterial anatomy. We want to make sure that we can safely and technically put in the catheter into hepatic artery system, typically through the gastroduodenal artery. And in cases where we can't do that, they're just not a candidate for the therapy.
When I'm looking at a patient in my clinic, I'm looking at, issues such as, the liver function, the presence or absence of any extrahepatic disease. I'm also looking at their disease course up until this point, right? Their tolerance of chemotherapy up until now. And looking at certain features like presence of ascites, for example, that can be very problematic for placing a pump, risk of infection, and looking at evidence for portal hypertension. And again, I think for me, at least, because when I'm talking to these patients, I'm also trying to think about what modified systemic chemotherapy I'm going to give them in combination with the HAI therapy and what realistically has been their response to these drugs previously and what can I safely give them in combination with pump treatment. I think HAI has a very important role to play in many patients, but not in all patients. And I think it's important to know when it's right not to offer the pump. And some of those factors would definitely feature. I think as well, I said earlier, we can consider it at any time point. The further along you get, though, that there may still be some benefit, but not quite the same. So again, if somebody comes to me and they've perhaps been on third or fourth line chemotherapy with one of our oral agents, then you have to temper the response that you're expecting to get for that patient with all of the commitment that's involved in having a pump. And again, I think that's setting expectations for the patient and family members. And in particular, because so many of these patients, they're traveling to receive this, right? And is it fair to them to do this if the benefit is minimal, right? And I think that's an informed discussion with the patient and the family.
This is a complex, team-based therapy that requires expertise in many areas, not just surgical oncology and medical oncology, but a number of other teams: interventional radiology, interventional GI, nuclear medicine. It requires a dedication and expertise from the pharmacy teams, the infusion nursing teams, et cetera. So it really is a team effort, and without commitment and expertise and dedication among all those different groups, I would not recommend this therapy in places without those different things. That being said, there are teams out there that, for example, medical oncology teams out in the community that have started to get some experience and have interest in this. And actually, I collaborate with several community-based medical oncologists that I have a long-standing relationship with that actually are really experts in HAI therapy as well. And so we'll manage pumps in collaboration with me at a very experienced center to do it carefully. So I think those collaborations can work really, really well, you know, in the correct setting. I do think it's important to be able to offer this therapy outside of a few select centers around the country. It's, that's really important. And so trying to extend this to other centers is important, but it just really has to be done carefully and safely so we don't hurt these patients, given the real complexity and decision-making, and then just the technical and management types of decisions that need to be made. Yeah, all those factors kind of play into it. But understanding the data and the potential benefit is probably the first step.
We want to help share our expertise, and we want to help you decide who is the right patient for this. I think all that I would add would be, again, just to reiterate the importance of considering this in patients earlier, and in particular, prior to doing anything liver-directed, you know, such as Y90, to have these patients assessed to make those decisions, and that the sequencing for the patient is the right choice for them.
We are always happy to see these patients early and help with some of the complex decision-making. I always would prefer to see a patient up front, actually, to look at their scans, look at their liver, have an understanding of kind of, you know, what potential goals we can have for them, and then work in collaboration with the community oncologists to figure out what the best and safest thing is for each patient.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OnClive On Air, sponsored by Intera Oncology. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OnClive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OnClive. On Facebook, like us at OnClive, and follow our OnClive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OnClive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OnClive On Air.